Friends, as has been announced, we want to consider the topic of faith, and we will look at it from the standpoint of it being a foundation. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I will read verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It seems that the word faith is somewhat defined for us here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1. Let me give you the dictionary definition, if you will, of the word faith. It is a conviction of the truth of anything. It is belief. Now we understand that in the New Testament, that faith is talked about in relationship to God, to divine things, and how man plays into that relationship. It is trust. It is holy fervor, born of faith and joined with it, relating to the conviction that God exists and that He is the Creator and the ruler of all things. And I know that you are aware of what the New Testament says about faith, how that we are justified by faith, and passages like Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where we are instructed that it is by faith by that which we walk. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And our faith isn't blind. It is based upon proof. And I hope to show you that a little more specifically here in just a moment. What I want us to see is that faith is the foundation. When we talk about faith that is in the New Testament, we need to understand that it is a foundation. Now, the word that is used here for foundation is the idea of assurance. It is something of substance. It is a firm trust or belief. I don't know about you, but when I think about the idea of substance, it conjures up ideas in my mind of my father telling us boys to eat some good hearty breakfast, something that's got some substance to it, something that's going to stick to your ribs, it's going to stay with you for a while. That seems to be the idea behind this foundation. Faith has a foundation. It is something that has a great deal of substance. It is real. It is a foundation. It is firm. It has an actual existence. It is a real being. That is faith. And we know from the Scriptures that faith in God would produce action. When we look at passages like James chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, we read about the faith of Abraham and what it caused him to do. We can look here in Hebrews chapter 11, in the great hall of faith as it is described. By faith, someone did something. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Abraham offered up his son Isaac. By faith, Noah. By faith, Sarah. Faith caused an action. And that is true in the New Testament. When we read the account of Luke in Acts chapter 2, those there on the day of Pentecost had heard the Word of God. They had a belief. They understood this foundation. They understood that substance, and it produced action in them such that they would ask, what do we need to do in order to be saved? Faith is that foundation. We read in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, how that faith is connected with our prayer life. Notice James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we ask something of God, we do it in faith. It is tied with our prayer life. And faith is what produces boldness and confidence in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul writes to those Christians in the city of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, notice the verses 11 and 12, where the Apostle Paul says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. How is it that we have boldness and confidence? It's by the faith in Jesus Christ that gives us that. It is that substance. It is that assurance. It is that firm trust that allows us to have that boldness and confidence. When we go on to see in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is based upon evidence. The faith that we have in God, this assurance, this substance, this firm trust that we have, this real existence of something that we have, is based upon evidence. How is it that jurors are persuaded to believe one thing or another? It's based upon evidence. Evidence that is presented by the two sides. They have the ability to take that evidence and look at it and think about it and ponder about it and make up their mind. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, our faith is based on things that we haven't seen. But it is still evidence nonetheless. I find it interesting what we read by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18... the Apostle Paul says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our proof, our evidence is based upon the Word of God. Remember, we don't have a blind faith. It is based upon proof. It is based upon something that does exist, even though our eyes cannot see it. Friends, we have a 66-book eyewitness account. The Bible is written by some 40 different writers, every one of them guided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have evidence of everything that God wants us to know, everything that we need to know in order to have a faith, in order to have that foundation, that part of us that has real substance in our life as a child of God. Evidence of things not seen. Paul wrote to many people and made it very clear to them that the things that he wrote was not of his own thinking. It was not of his own mind. It was not of his own thoughts. It was God's wisdom. He writes to the church in Corinth and makes a comparison between a man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And he makes the point and says that the things that I'm writing to you, the things that I have told you, the things that you have been instructed of me, are of God's wisdom. And he gives them that evidence and that proof that is necessary. It was God's intention to provide all that we need to know in order to be saved, in order to obey. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law.
faith that is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is indeed a foundation. It is evidence of things not seen.
But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And we might need to mention and talk about that idea for just a second. When we're talking about this substance, it is the substance of things hoped for. We probably need to understand what is the idea behind hope. What is the word that is used there? Is it something that just may or may not happen? No, the word that is used there for the substance of things hoped for is that idea of a expectation. I might illustrate it this way. We talked this morning in our Bible class about our children, parents, and talking to our children. And I used the example of DC and asking him if he'd ever heard instructions from his father or mother that, you know, if you do this again, this is what's going to take place. Do you think that DC had within his mind an expectation of that to come if he disobeyed? Yeah. We hand off our children to babysitters or to friends, and we go off for a night out by ourselves for just a little R&R away from the children, and we get back home and we say, "I hope they behave. I hope they behaved." Is that something that we're just blindly thinking about? That's what we'd like, but we don't really expect it. No, I dare say that we as parents, when we utter that phrase, that is our expectation. We expected our children to do what they were told and to behave. We understand that word hope. Now understand that in this idea of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's real. It exists. Friends, we need to expect it to come to pass. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what does that get us? Well, we can know that God exists. We can know that the Bible is true. Friends, when we start looking at the prophecies of the Old Testament, when we go to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 and we read about the birth of Jesus, and we read over in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 of that prophecy being fulfilled, when we read in Isaiah chapter 53 verses 3 through 12 of the suffering of Jesus Christ and the pain and the agony that He will endure, prophesied hundreds of years before. And then we read in Matthew's account of Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, or chapters 27 verses 13, 14, and in particular verse 35, and it is related back to Isaiah's prophecy. He bore our afflictions. He carried our sorrows. Spoke not a word. All this trial and affliction that He endured. Turn over and take a look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69 in verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Sound familiar? Probably so. But perhaps more likely because of what we read in Matthew chapter 27 than what we've read in Psalm 69. When we read the account of the crucifixion of Christ and we turn in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 34, we see that exactly that same thing took place. "They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." These are prophecies, things that were prophesied before, and they were fulfilled sometime later. That is how we can know. This is our evidence. This is just a part of our evidence, though. When we think about the evidence that we have within the Scriptures, when we see that in science that talks about the springs of the sea, and we turn over to Job 38 and verse 16, where Job talks about the springs of the sea. Well, in 1976, geological surveys went out on the oceans
And they saw that there were springs in the sea.
In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 16 talks about the channels of the sea.
We know that takes place. We can look at maps and see where man has charted the ocean bottoms.
What I found interesting, you ever thought about why God wanted the Jews, the male Israelites, to be circumcised on the eighth day? In 1935, a professor made the realization that blood clotting abilities are at its best
the eighth day after birth. We talk about the roundness of the earth. We learn in our history books, we learn from our social studies teachers of how man thought that the earth was flat for decades and centuries. And it wasn't until the time that Columbus set out from Spain and he went and he found and he discovered America, or Magellan, that sailed around the earth. Let me remind you of something. Isaiah knew that long before Columbus ever lived. Because in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he talks about the roundness of the earth. Now, what is all this for? Well, in my mind, it's to cause us to think about what we're doing with our faith. We have all this evidence. Faith is the foundation. It is substance. It is real. It exists. It's not something that's just made up in our minds. It's the substance of things hoped for. It is an expectation of something to come. It is the evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen heaven yet, but we have evidence of it. And all this earth is a testimony to the existence of God Almighty. So what is our faith doing?
I ask us that question because when you look through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we see the actions of those people. When we read of the actions of Moses,
by faith Moses, when he was called, come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. What was it that caused him to want to suffer that affliction? It was faith. Was it blind faith? No, it was a true faith based upon the substance of what he had. What caused Abraham to offer up his son Isaac? It's faith. It all starts there. Faith is the foundation for everything that we do. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, the writer says, "And what shall I more say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith..." Now listen to this list. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of all the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." They did all this. How? Through faith. Because of their faith in God, because of what they had of a real existence, of substantial qualities, they were able to accomplish all these things. And so then the question for you and I is, what is our faith doing? We see these individuals, and might point out this, In verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What's the promise? Well, the promise is that of Jesus Christ. The promise made to Abraham earlier on when God called him, he made three promises to Abraham. He said, I'll give you a great nation, I'll give you the land, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He gave him the land, he gave him the nation, but they hadn't received the promise. These people were of the Israelites. They had done all these things, but they haven't received the promise. Well, what promise is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. But friends, we're at the point in time in history that the promise is ours. Jesus Christ has come to this earth. He has lived His life. He has given His life for us. But then again, the question, what is our faith doing? We stack ourselves up next to these people who through faith did these marvelous tasks. Somewhat unbelievable task. And they did it through faith and didn't receive the promise. And we have the ability to receive the promise. To call upon God as our Father, our spiritual Father, what is our faith doing today? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is His Son? Do you believe that He came to this earth? He was born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem? Lived and talked and ate with multitudes of people? Performed miracles, wonders, and signs? Do you believe those things? Then what are you doing with your faith? See, all the faith in the book of Hebrews is followed by action. If someone was to write about us today, what would be listed there? What would be said? By faith, Jeff Henderson, this. What is our faith doing? It's a question we need to keep in front of us on a regular basis. Because true faith in God produces action. There is no reason for us to think that we can slack off, that we cannot do, and have true faith. You remember what James says about faith that lacks action? It's dead. If we don't have action along with our faith, we're dead. Do you want to be dead or be alive? The question is up to you. You make the decision. What is our faith doing? What has your faith produced? There may be one in the audience this evening that does have a faith and a belief in God Almighty and Jesus Christ as well. And you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you're willing tonight to repent of your sins and willing to confess your faith before this audience. Put your faith to action and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. Show a true faith, a working faith, an alive faith. But perhaps there are those here tonight that have done that in the past. And you would tell people that, yes, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ. But it's not evidence by your actions. People would see through that. We talked about it in our Bible class this morning, how that when husbands love their wives, it's evident to others. When we have a faith in God, it's evident to others. Have you lived in such a way as to not be showing your faith?
in essence, denying Christ and denying the existence of God because you've not let your faith be active. If we can help you in some way, turn your life around, to come back to God, to confess your wrongs, this congregation, we'll pray with you and pray for you that your sins be forgiven. Begin acting by faith. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come as we stand and sing?